How's everyone doing? Awesome. I heard an awesome. Is anyone still full from Thanksgiving? Yeah. How about this? Is anyone still eating from Thanksgiving? I've been working on ham and these little cubes of cheese that we had, which we got a little crazy, and I started cutting, and I didn't stop soon enough. So I've got probably another 3 days of ham and cheese to work on. But I am so excited that you guys are here with us, whether you're here in person, whether you're here tuning in from home, or whether you are coming home from a Thanksgiving family time and you're watching us on a phone. We are so excited that you guys are with us today. My name is Weston Dearman, and I'm the Family Ministries pastor, and I am so excited to be able to be part of this Maximum Joy series. I'll be closing out the series with us today. And just before I launch into it, though, I want to talk about joy and what brings me joy. This is the season of joy. This is the season of gratitude, of happiness. And what brings me joy is my family. Yeah, look at those faces. My beautiful bride, Lauren. Wave your hand, Lauren. Yay. She was up here on the piano. If you don't know Lauren, meet her. She's amazing. People are always like, that's your wife? And they kind of step back and look. I'm like, I know, right? I don't get it either. But I am lucky to be married to Lauren. And these are our two beautiful girls. Cadence is the one with blue eyes and curly blonde hair. Don't know where she got it. She is 4.5. And Rowan is the silly little girl. So these girls are 100% attitude. Cadence is the sassiest little thing. She will look you in the eye, she will tell you she's right, and then she'll follow that with, and this is why I'm right. And her mother and I are just like, baby, please, you're not right. And then you've got Rowan, who is 100% silly. She is the silliest little thing. She'll do something, we're like, why are you doing? She goes, I'm just trying to be funny. And then she'll like go off and trip walking down the hallway. Clumsy little thing. If you ever see her without a bruise, we're doing good. Okay, that's a good day because she is a clumsy little thing. So I am thankful so much for my family. Next, I am thankful for God's creation. I love being in the woods. Do we have anyone in here that loves being out in the woods? Hallelujah, amen. Yes, little man, I got you. Yes, it revitalizes me. It just takes time away. This last week, Pastor Brad and I were able to be in the woods together for a little bit, and it was such a fun time. We made some great memories. Now, let me ask this. Is anyone in here a coffee drinker? Hallelujah. Almost had the wave going on. Hallelujah. Yes. Most mornings, you'll see me stumbling down the stairs, one eye open, one eye closed, kind of one of these. I get a little off balance, making my way to the Keurig because I need coffee. Scientists say the human body is made up of 65% water. I like to think I'm 45% coffee, 20% water. I mean, it's water-based, so it could be true. Makes me sleep better at night. But I love coffee. But most importantly, what I'm joyful about, most importantly, what I am thankful for, is the fact that a Savior chose to love someone like me, that I'm a prisoner set free, that I have hope and I have joy that is not from me, because anything I try to do to bring myself joy, to bring myself hope, any of that, I fall short immediately. And so I have a personal Savior who loves me and came and died for me. And that is why I have maximum joy. Just so you guys know, is this stage not incredible? Yeah. So the people who came up here and set this stage up did such an amazing job. I literally felt like I was in Narnia. Like I was like, that's the light post. I know what's going to happen. So if anyone sees like a Mr. Tumnus or something pop out behind me, let me know, because I'm going to be facing this way. If there's something behind me, you guys have to let me know. Cool? Okay. But no, the stage, the building, the decorations, people worked really hard to make this happen. And we're grateful for it. It looks beautiful. So as we begin reading God's word, I would like to open us in a word of prayer. So if you will bow with me. Father God, Lord, I thank you, Jesus, that you bring joy. You bring contentment. And you bring salvation. Lord, as we open your word today, may your spirit move in power and might. Lord, may we leave this building being more like you, God. Open our eyes to the needs around us and use us for your glory and for your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, and as I was saying, our sermon today is going to be in Philippians chapter 4. I am closing out the Maximum Joy series. And as the other pastors have talked about over the last few weeks, just a reminder that this is an amazing letter that Paul wrote while he was in prison to the church of Philippi. This is the first church that Paul planted in Europe. It's a special place to him. The book is all about encouragement. And what he's telling them is he's saying, guys, do not stop. Keep going. You're doing great. Don't stop the race. Don't give up. When times get hard, lean on Jesus. When times get hard, don't walk in your own power. Lean on each other. Encourage one another. You've got this. Don't stop going. So we're going to read verses 10 through 23 in Philippians 4. It's going to be a little chunk, but we're going to read right through them. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my troubles. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. And as we unpack this today, as we look at this, we've got three main areas of focus that we can learn from this, that we can learn from Paul's letter to the church of Philippi. Number one, first area of focus, is that believers taking care of one another. This is huge. Believers taking care of one another. The Philippians were making sure that Paul was taken care of. What they were not doing is waiting to see if someone else stepped up. They didn't see the need and say, you know what, we're gonna wait a little bit to see if anyone steps up and fills the gap. No, they didn't do that. What they did was they saw the need and they acted. They were active in helping him out. In verses 10, I rejoice, Lord, greatly. Now at length you have revived your concern for me. Revived, meaning it had already taken place. They had been providing for Paul financially several times. It said they were the first ones when he left Macedonia to take care of him. So the church of Philippi, this isn't just a one-and-done thing. This isn't like, okay, Paul, he's off. Who do we got next? Let's see what we can do. No, they saw the need. They realized, okay, we're called to take care of each other. We're family, that's what we do. And they acted. And I just think we can really learn from that as believers today in this world. You know, whether it's a need in our church body, which right now there's plenty of them in the season we're in, whether it's the need of our community, again, there's plenty of them, but to not wait and sit on our hands and say, you know what, we're going to wait and see if someone else steps up. If not, we might be able to come in. But instead to say, we're going to go. We see this need. We're going to be used by the Lord. We're going to go forward. We're going to be active in our faith. Second area of focus, and this is a big one. I love this. In verses 11 through 13, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. And the secret is, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Paul had experienced highs and lows. And the thing about Paul is that he figured out early on that he didn't ignore God when times were good, and he didn't blame God when times were bad. Paul did not ignore God when times were good, and he did not blame God when times were bad. It's human nature. When times are good, what do? Man, we got this. God, don't worry. God, you know what? I'm such a good person. You find someone else to help. I'm good. I've got this. Everything is good. Tomorrow's going to be better than today. Everything is just perfect. So God, I've got this. I'll let you know if I need help. We do that, right? We might not be that outspoken about it, and that might not be the words we use, but that's what happens. When things are good, we're like, I got this, Lord. Everything's great. But when things start going bad, that's when we're running back to God. That's when we're saying, Lord, where are you? I know I said that I got this. I know I said that times are good, but I thought you would at least keep an eye on me. If you were with me, God, this wouldn't be happening. What's going on? I've tried to be faithful. I've tried to be good. I've tried to give. I've tried all these things. God, why are you picking on me? That's what happens. And that could easily have been Paul's demeanor as he's writing this letter from prison. He easily could have been like, Lord, what is going on? I've given my life for you. I'm doing all these things for you, Lord. What's going on? Help me out. Hook me up. No. Paul realized that God was in control. He did not base his faith in God off of the circumstances he found himself in. And that's an easy thing to do, because life is a roller coaster, and not the roller coaster you find at like Incredible Pizza. It's like, wee, you know, for the 5 and under kids. Life is Six Flags. Life, it comes at you hard, even when you think it's okay, it's just a little loop, you're doing this. So you're either heading into a valley or you're coming out of a valley in life. And Paul realized, okay, if I base my walk with Christ, if I base my joy, if I base my contentment off of what's happening around me and to me, I'm going to be all over the place. It's going to be rough. But if I base my contentment and my joy off of who God is and the promises that he gave us, then I can be constant. I can be content and joyful no matter the circumstances I am in. God is constant. His goodness is constant. His love for me is constant. So, I will choose to find my contentment and joy in Him instead of what's happening to me. And that's a tough one. The third area of focus, the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. Amen? The Lord will provide. This is amazing. This is the truth that God offers us. This is why we can come together as a church body and sing songs of worship and raise our hands in worship and have hope and joy, because we know, just as Paul knew, that the Lord will provide. We must wait upon the Lord. In verse 19, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." When Paul was sending this to him, he didn't say, if you guys continue to be obedient to God, God will bless you and provide for you. He didn't say, if God thinks you're doing a good job, he'll continue to provide for you. No, what Paul said was, guys, God will provide and supply every need you have. Go to him, trust in him, continue to lean on him. And the incredible thing about this is that Paul lived this out. You know, this isn't something that Paul just said, like wrote about, and then went and hung out in the inn. You know, like Paul was in prison. He was living this out. He believed that God would provide. There was zero doubt in this. And I need to confess something to you guys, that this is something that I need to be reminded of a lot, that God will provide. And it's not that I doubt it, but what happens is I get so focused on what's happening in front of me that I can get tunnel vision. You know, I can see the problem or the mountain or whatever you want to call it in front of me, and I laser in focus on that. What happens is I try to figure it out, I try to examine it, and I try ultimately to do it in my own power. I try to figure out, how can I solve this problem? And I look at it from every angle, and it's just, what happens is I continue to worry, I continue to stress, I fret about it, instead of just going, instead of just stepping back, taking a breath, and saying, Lord, you're in control, and you will provide. Which, that's what he wants us to do. He takes joy in that. The thing is, it might not be in my timetable. It might not be when I want it to happen. And it might not be the way I want it to happen. Amen? But God provides. It is what he does. And this is something that we can walk away today knowing. Walk away today realizing and standing on that foundation that God will provide. Whether you're in a season of plenty, where you're like, man, life is just really good, God's providing. Or whether you are in the darkest time of your life and you're not sure what tomorrow holds, you're scared of what tomorrow might hold, you can stand on the truth and the promise that God will provide. Do not give up hope, and do not give up on God. Amen? God will provide. And in this season of the world where there's so much division, where there's so much craziness, where some of you parents, you're not sure if your students are going to go back to school, and you're like, how is this going to affect me working? How is this going to affect their education? Do we have enough masks stored up in the closet? Do we have enough toilet paper? Are we going to be able to have Christmas? What's going on? There's so many questions in this season of the world. We just need to take a step back, take a deep breath, and instead of trying to figure it all out ourselves, say, you know what, Lord, you're going to provide. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to do everything I can on my end, but Lord, my trust ultimately is going to be in you, because you are good. The Lord will provide. I've said it 1,000 times now. We must wait upon the Lord. So as we began this series a few weeks back, I had the privilege of joining Pastor Eric, Pastor Brad, and Pastor John in reading over this together. We had just a fun little session where we got to get together and read through Philippians. It was just a really encouraging time. And as I was reading through chapter 4, what really stuck out to me was, I was like, man, so we know that God will provide. And we have Paul, who has just an immense amount of trust in that. You know, he never doubts it. He just goes forward. I was trying to think of an example that would portray this level of trust in the Lord. And one of the biggest fears I have in my life is if something were to happen to my family. Like, that is number one fear that I have. If something were to happen to my family, I would be completely broken. I would become unhinged. I'd be like the crazy person you see running in circles. Like, there's no telling what would happen to me because I adore my family. And so when thinking about that, it took me to Genesis chapter 22, Abraham and Isaac. In chapter 22 of Genesis, Abraham and Isaac, along with two servants, are heading up to a mountain where Abraham has been told to sacrifice his son Isaac. The very promise that God gave Isaac, the very promise that God said, you will have a son, you will have an heir. And not only that, they will, their ancestor, your ancestors, his descendants will number among the stars. So God gave Abraham this promise, and then God says, Abraham, I want you to get your son Isaac, your only son that you love, take him up on this mountain, and I want you to sacrifice him. What was Abraham's response to this? Did he try to barter with God? Lord, how about you just take all my wealth? How about I give you this? Would this be enough, God? Just don't take my son. Did he try to beg God? God, you made a promise. I'm trying to help you, God. Don't make a liar out of yourself. You promised that I'm going to have descendants through this son. If I sacrifice him, what's going to happen? Did he do that? No. What he did was when God told him, get your son that you love more than anything. The promise that I gave you, get him. Take him up on the mountain and sacrifice him in my name. When God told him that, what did Abraham do? He got the donkeys. He got the wood. He got his son. And he started walking towards that mountain. And when Isaac said, Dad, we have everything, but where's the sacrifice? Whew, gives me chills just even thinking about it. He said, God will provide. And as he took him up on the mountain and was getting ready to sacrifice his son that he loved, his promise from God, it says the angel of the Lord appeared and said, stop. Do not touch him. And as Abraham turned, there was a ram stuck in the thicket. And it says that Abraham named that place, the Lord will provide. Abraham's faith, his contentment, his joy did not come from what God could give him. It came from God. Does that make sense? It's not about the blessings we can get from God. It's not about what God can give us. Like, oh, all right. I want that, I want that, I want that. Thank you, Lord, you're so good. No, it's about the relationship we have with the Father. It's about the times that we can be obedient. That's what Abraham did. He was obedient. And because he was obedient, the Lord said, Abraham, indeed, you will have descendants that number amongst the stars. Excuse me. Guys, God has been providing since the beginning. Since the very beginning, God has been providing for us. We have Adam and Eve. God provided the Garden of Eden. When we messed it up, it says God provided skins that they could wear. Abraham and Isaac. When Abraham responded in obedience to something that broke his heart, it said it took a few days to get to the mountain. You know, Abraham was thinking the whole time, like, oh, every step, I'm getting closer. Getting closer to the mountain. Whew, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I might not understand. I might not understand what's happening right now. I might not understand your timing, but God, as I get closer to this outcome, each step, God, I'm going to rely on you. I'm going to trust in you. And God provided an alternative sacrifice. When Moses and the Israelites were trapped between the Red Sea and the chariots of the Egyptians, God provided. God provided a way out. And when we were without hope, God provided his own son. And again, this was not the way that people expected it to happen. You know, the Jewish leaders expected, well, he's going to come down, he's going to deliver us from Rome, he's going to conquer the Romans, and we're just going to, it's going to be a majestic thing. But when God provided us his son, it was not in the company of kings and queens and nobles and riches and bands and music. It was in the company of shepherds, who at that time were the lowest of the low, and he was born in a manger, which is basically a food trough. He came in the humblest of settings, not in the way that people were looking for him, but that did not take away from the fact that God provided. So we can learn today from the Philippians that we should take care of each other. When we see a need, we need to respond to it. We can leave today being content in who God is. We can be content in our lives because of who God is. We don't have to worry about what's to come. We need to say, Lord, we just need to be honest with him. God, this is scary. This is stressing me out, Lord. I don't know what's going to happen. But God, I'm going to choose to lean on you and your goodness. I'm going to choose to lean on your promises and who you are. And I'm going to remember the times that you were faithful because that's who you are. And we need to stand on the fact that God will provide no matter the season we are in. Whether we are in a desert season that's just, oh, it's tough. Times are tough. I come to church and I smile and I try to blend in. People don't know what's going on in my life. Or you come to church and you are gleaming because you're like, ooh, this mountaintop is beautiful. Life is good. Whatever season you're in, God's going to provide. So as we look at our next steps, we can choose to remember God's faithfulness. This is a choice we make, and this is something we have to do often. Because when times get tough, man, what I do is I try to rely on my own strength. I try to figure things out myself, and I just try to handle things. But I need to remember God's faithfulness. I need to remember and teach myself and learn to lean on him alone. I can't walk in my own understanding or my own wisdom because I'm not smart enough. I don't have enough wisdom. It's not going to last me very long. And third, we will strive to be content in all seasons. We will not let the circumstances dictate our joy or our contentment. We can choose today to say, you know what? Life is tough, but God is good. Any of you with young children in here? Hallelujah. Life is tough, but God is good. Oh my. I'm going to nap one day. I'm holding on to that hope. Whatever season you're in, you can choose to be content and say, Lord, use me. You are my joy. You are my peace. You are my Father. Use me. Bow with me. Father God, I thank you so much for these families that came down front to dedicate their beautiful children, Lord God. Lord, that's a perfect reminder, God, that every single day we dedicate our lives to you, God. Every single day we wake up and we're blessed with another day on this earth, God. We dedicate our lives to you. Lord, whatever seasons we're in, we can choose you, Father, and your love for us, Lord. We pray for your strength, God. We pray for your spirit to move. Lord, and we pray for those who do not have hope, God. May we be a light for them, God. May you shine through us, Lord. Because we can't do it on our own, Father. We need you. Help us spread your joy and your hope everywhere we go, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.